God lies to thee, Son of the Wealthy. Our glories to thee, Son of the Wealthy. Our glories to thee, Son of the Wealthy. Our glories to she who am Garanga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 10, Verse Number 2. Sutta Uvacha. Vamsham Kura Vamsha Dava Vinirvitam. Samro Hayitva Pava Pava Nakari. Ishevaitva Nijaratya Ishvaro. Yudhisthiram Hrita Manasa Bhuvaha. Vamshankura Vamsha Davatna Nirhitam. Sanro Hayitva Bhava Bhavana Hari. Isheva Itva Nicharaji Ishara. Yudhisthiram Pitta Manasa Bhuvaha. Sutta Vacham. Vamsham Kura Vamsha Dabhati Nidhitam. Samra Haitva Dabha Bhava Nathari. Shaitva Nidharaja Ishvara. Yudhisthiram Pritta Manakha Bhuvaha. Vamsham Kura Vamsha Dabhakmi Nikitam. Samra Haitva Bhava Bhavana Parmi. Isheva Itta Nidharajishara. Yudhisthiram Pitta Manakha Bhuvaha. Vamsham Kura Vamsha Vahi Nikitam. Samra Hitva Bhava Bhavana Hari. Isheva Hitva Nijaraja Ishvara. Yudhisthiram Pitta Manasa Bhuvaha. Vamsham Kura Vamsha Dabhati Nikitam. Samra Hayitva Bhava Bhavana Hari. Isheva Yitva Nijarajishvara. Yudhisthiram Pitta Manasa Bhuvaha. Sutta Vacha. Sutta Goswami replied, Vamsham, dynasty, Kuro, of King Kuru, Vamshadava Agni, a forest fire set by the bamboos, Nihitam, exhausted, Sarahitva, seeding of the dynasty, Avapavaha, the maintainer of creation. Hari, the personality of Godhead Shri Krishna. Ive Shaitva, having reestablished Nijarajya in his own kingdom. Ishvaraha, Thus supreme Lord. Yudhishthiram. Anta Maharaj Yudhisthira. Pitamanaha. Pleased in his mind. Babuvaha. It came. Sutta Goswami said, Lord Shri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is maintainer of the world, became pleased after reestablishing Maharaj Yudhisthira in his own kingdom and after restoring the Kuru dynasty, which had been exhausted by the bamboo fire of anger. Purport. This world is compared to a forest fire caused by the cohesion of bamboo bushes. Such a forest fire takes place automatically, for bamboo cohesion occurs without external cause. Similarly, in the material world, the wrath of those who want to lord it over material nature interacts, and the fire of war takes place, exhausting the unwanted population. Such fires or wars take place, and the Lord has nothing to do with them, but because he wants to maintain the creation, he desires the mass of people to follow the right path of self-realization, which enables the living beings to enter into the kingdom of God. The Lord wants the suffering human beings to come back home, back to him, and cease to suffer the threefold material pangs. The whole plan of creation is made in that way, and one who does not come to his senses suffers in the material world by pangs inflicted by the illusory energy of the Lord. The Lord therefore wants his bona fide representative to rule the world. Lord Shri Krishna descended to establish the sort of regime and to kill the unwanted persons who have nothing to do with his plan. The battle of Kurukshetra is fought according to the plan of the Lord so that undesirable persons could get out of the world and a peaceful kingdom under his devotee could be established. The Lord is therefore fully satisfied when King Yudhisthira was on the throne and the seating of the dynasty of Kuru in the person Maharaj Parikshit was saved. Mukam parati vachalam vangam langate kirin Vyakipantiham vande shigur tivakavinam Om agyana timurandasya gyananjaya shalakaya Chakshumritam yena tasmai shigurave namaha. So here Sutta Goswami is describing the Kuru dynasty, Vansham, Kuru dynasty of the Kurus, but also after Vansha Kuru, he says Vansha Davagni. This Vansha is burned up. Vansha also means bamboo, so that's why the analogy of bamboo is here. So Vansha can mean dynasty and Vansha can mean bamboo also. So the dynasty is like bamboo. Comparing the whole dynasty to bamboo. Automatically, they grow side by side and they can also catch on fire. And that happened, the Vagni. So when there's, Srila Prabhupada in a lecture said, when they collide in the air, there is heat, electricity is generated, and fire takes place. So yeah, now in this world, it's happening. People are colliding and war can take place. Who knows what can happen? Because there's a lot there's a lot of people fighting. There's two opposite poles, and some people say there's a conspiracy. Some people say no, this is happening. It's a real. And so, what will happen in the future? It looks like Prabhupada is making a prophecy here. That fire will happen. Devagi near Hitam. And so Prabhupada commented that Krishna knows how to kill the demons. He makes a fire of war. And that was the whole purpose of the battle of Kurukshetra. And so Krishna's name is Bhava, Bhavana. And this world is called Bhava Samsara. So Bhava also means become. This world is created by Krishna. And he also wants to see it properly maintained. Who will maintain this world? His representative, not the demons. they're going to destroy it. We can see from what's happening today that the world is in a very dangerous situation. And so the king is supposed to be representative of Krishna to maintain this world. And Krishna here is described, he's pleased. Isho Pritamana Bhavuva. Isho became pleased. Prabhupada commented, Isho is always pleased. He's always happy. He's always pleased. He's never displeased. But when he sees that people are devotees, people are acting as his servant, then he's more pleased. So when he saw now Maharaj Yudhisthira situated on the throne to control the world, he became satisfied. This is my real representative and he will work nicely. And so we are finding out here how Krishna is pleased, how to please Krishna, how Krishna is pleased. We're learning a lot here in this verse and purport. So Krishna is pleased when a devotee is representative, king of the world. He's also pleased when the devotee is protected, like Parikshit. Parikshit, he protected, he came personally and protected Parikshit in the womb. So this pleases Krishna. As he says in Bhagavad Gita, declare boldly, my devotee shall never perish. So he protected the present king, Yudhisthira, and the future king, Parikshit. So in this purport, Prabhupada explains how Krishna is pleased. The Lord wants his bona fide representative to rule the world. Because Yudhisthira, he would represent Krishna's mission. Pritanaya sadhanam, vinashaya chidushkitam. Deliver the pious, annihilate the miscreants, and establish the principles of religion. So this is the mission of Krishna, mission of the king. We heard yesterday's class by Shesha that Yudhisthira did not have the enjoying mentality. He was not thinking, oh, wow, now I get to be emperor of the whole world. Yes, no, not like that. He's a Rajarshi. He is a pure devotee. He is a Mahabhagava. Not like that. He was convinced by the instruction of Bhishma Dev, by the instruction of Achyuta, and he saw, okay, if I sit on the throne and become king, I will be in my position as servant of Krishna. And that's why we hear in Bhagavatam Prithu, he wanted to be king so he could preach. He could preach Krishna consciousness to his citizens. And I was just reading yesterday, about Priyavrata. Priyavrata. What is the mentality of the devotees? They don't want these high, high positions. Priyavrata was being preached to by Narada Muni, and he was renounced. He was completely renounced. He was like a sannyasi. But Swayambhu Vamanu, who was in charge of the universe, wanted him to take over so he could renounce. Now, this is the mentality of the devotee. These politicians, they don't want to renounce. They want to hold on as long as they can. But the devotees, the Rajarshis, the actual real kings, they were not attached to being the king. They wanted to renounce. Manu, he wanted to give up the kingdom and give it to Priyavrata, his son. Priyavrata didn't want to take the kingdom. And he had to be convinced to take the kingdom. And Yudhisthira also, now he had to be convinced. And he didn't just jump, okay, now I'm king, everyone's dead, now I'm the king. No, he was not like that. He actually had to be convinced by Bhishma Dev, by Krishna. So, Nishamya Bhishmoktam Atachutoktam, that's the next verse. That when such great personalities are giving their opinion, then there's no wrong on my part to accept the throne. He felt like he didn't deserve it. I mean, most people, when they get these positions, they think, yes, due to my hard work, finally I'm here and the people love me. No, Yudhisthira was not thinking. He was thinking, oh, I don't deserve this position. Yes. So, he was instructed by Vijnana, it was realized knowledge, practical knowledge. He didn't want, he said, he was thinking, oh, so many people died because of me, I don't want to do it. But when he heard Bhishma Dev, then he accepted the throne. Bhishma Dev was very scientific, Vijnana Viduta is described in the next verse. So this is Krishna. Now Krishna is also described as Ajitashala, that's also in the next verse, that if the devotee takes shelter of Krishna, Ajita, then he gives all protection. And if the devotee says something, then Krishna must fulfill his words. Just like in the case of Prahlad Maharaj, Narada Muni promised his mother not to worry about Prahlad. He will protect her. And also, Brahma gave a promise. He had some words to Hiranyakashipu that, yes, you will not die in day or night, and so many things he gave. So Nrisimhadeva had to come to fulfill these words of Brahma and Narada to protect Prahlad Maharaj. So Ajita, he's called Ajita, no one can conquer him, but he's conquered by his devotees. And so Yudhisthira, now he was assured that, okay, I'm protected by Krishna, I'm enlightened by instruction of Bhishma, and I have my brothers, they will follow my instruction. And then he accepted the throne. And what is the result of having a perfect Krishna-conscious king? He's representative of Krishna, and in the fourth verse, Kamamba Varsha Parjanya, there will be rain. There will be rain. Rain is so important. Gives all of our crops. And this is possible by yajna. Yajna bhavati parjanya. Parjanya anasambhava, then you perform yajna. And then sarva kama dukama hi. Then the earth will give everything. And then we see that. You get all necessities of life. And the cows were very happy, protected the cows, muda, and nature cooperates. The rivers, the ocean, the hills, the mountains, they were all cooperating. They were paying their tax to the king because he was a Krishna-conscious king. And that influences not only the citizens, but also nature is influenced when there is a Krishna-conscious king. When there's a Krishna-conscious king, there will not be frost like we experienced a few days ago. And so many of our plants died. All our papaya trees and banana trees died. This will not happen when there is a Krishna-conscious. We can blame it on Trump, I guess. He's not Krishna-conscious, so that's why we're having a frost in Florida, where it's not supposed to be. But anyway, no. When there is a Krishna-conscious king, then there's full cooperation. Full cooperation of nature. And this is how we can control nature, that by having a king who is in control. So we have these, all these things that we see in this world, they are belonging to Krishna. They're part of Krishna, part of the universal form of Vishnu. So we can actually be happy here if we use them for Krishna's service, and that's what Yudhisthira did, and so that's why everybody was happy. And not only were the plants giving everything and the land was producing crops, but there was no disease, no anxiety, no calamities, no natural disturbances, no COVID. So that was not there in Yudhisthira's kingdom. If we have a Krishna, all we need is a Krishna-conscious king. And COVID can be finished. So, yes. But unfortunately, we have all these things now, anxiety, disease, calamities, and natural disturbance. We're having all of these things. So the people were so happy. They had no anxiety. They were free from anxiety. So Srila Prabhupada came and said, if you're in anxiety, that will create disease. So don't be in anxiety. So, now, this purport is really very interesting because it tells us what are Krishna's desires. They're revealed in the purport. What is the plan? What is the desire of Krishna? Of course, he wants to maintain the creation. So what is the plan of creation? What is the cause of creation? And the cause of creation is actually compassion. The Lord's compassion, we can hear about it in the third canto, in the fifth chapter. There is a verse where it describes what happened at the beginning of creation. The Lord, the undisputed proprietor of everything, was the only seer. And the cosmic manifestation was not present at that time. Thus he felt imperfect without his plenary and separated parts and parcels. Material energy was dormant. Internal energy was manifested. So very interesting that although before creation, Krishna was in this, you know, the spiritual world was there, all his associates were there, but still he felt something lacking. And what was lacking? He wanted us too. He wanted us to be in the spiritual world too. So Prabhupada said in that purport, the Lord is the supreme seer because only by his glance did the material energy become active for cosmic manifestation. So his glance, there is creation, there is maintenance, there is destruction. And he felt insufficient, like a husband feeling lonely in the absence of his wife, Prabhupada says in the purport. Very interesting. And so the Lord wanted to create the cosmic manifestation to give another chance to conditioned souls who are forgetting, give them a chance to go back to home, back to Godhead. So that's the whole purpose, why this world is here, to give everyone a chance to go back home, back to Godhead. And so Prabhupada says in that purport, the Lord is so kind that in the absence of such manifestation, he feels something wanting. Thus, the creation takes place. Although the internal potency was manifested, the other potency was sleeping. And he wanted to awaken her to activity, just as a husband wants to awaken his wife from the sleeping state for enjoyment. It is compassion of the Lord. So here's the cause of creation, Prabhupada said. Compassion. Compassion for the sleeping energy. He wants to see her awaken for enjoyment like the other wives who are awake. So, but not only was Maya, Durga, sleeping, we were also sleeping with her. So then Prabhupada says the whole process is to enliven the sleeping conditioned souls to the real life of spiritual consciousness so they may become as perfect as the ever-liberated souls in Vaikuntha Lokas. And then Prabhupada says a very amazing thing. Since the Lord is Satchidananda Vigraha, he likes every part and parcel of his different potencies to take part in the blissful rasa, because participation with the Lord in his eternal rasa lila is the highest living condition, perfect in spiritual bliss and eternal knowledge. So the Prabhupada is saying why this creation is here, so we can join rasa lila. Krishna is once more dancers in his rasa lila, and we're missing, we're not there. So he wants us to be there. Isn't that interesting? You know, that was the purpose of creation. Go and join the Rasa-lila. That's in the third canto. And so that's why he expanded himself. He, in Sanskrit it says, Eko Bhusyan, so he could enjoy. And another very interesting verse is in ninth canto, fourth chapter, verse 64, where Krishna expresses that without his devotees, he cannot enjoy. The verse says, without saintly persons, for whom I'm the only destination, I do not desire to enjoy my transcendental bliss and my supreme opulences. And so even though Krishna is happy, he's subset, he's Atmarama, he has all the opulences, but without his devotees, he can't enjoy. And so that purport also tells some very interesting things for us. To enjoy, he needs the cooperation of his devotees. So Prabhupada gives the example of Vrindavan. Although Krishna is full, he wants cooperation of devotees like cowherd boys and gopis to increase his transcendental bliss. So such pure devotees who can increase the pleasure potency of the Supreme Lord are certainly most dear to him. Not only does he enjoy the company of his devotees, because he's unlimited, he wants to increase his devotees unlimitedly. So Krishna is unlimited, he has unlimited desires. And so therefore, he's not satisfied that he just has, you know, three-fourths of the people in the spiritual world. He wants the other fourth there too. That's his desire. So Prabhupada says, thus he descends in the material world to induce the non-devotees and rebellious living entities to return home back to Godhead. He requests them to surrender unto him because, unlimited as he is, he wants to increase his devotees unlimitedly. So we're all a part of Krishna's plan. Yeah, he wants to enjoy with us, that's his desire. And Prabhupada says the Krishna conscious movement is an attempt to increase the number of pure devotees of the Supreme Lord more and more. It is certain a devotee who helps in this endeavor to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes indirectly a controller of the Supreme Lord. So if you're out there distributing books, if you're preaching, you become a controller of the Lord. Although he's full in six opulences, he doesn't feel bliss without his devotees. So last chapter we were hearing how Bhishma was saying, I don't understand Krishna's plan. But now we're hearing about Krishna's plan. It's all there in Prabhupada's purport. Everyone should go back to Godhead and join the Rasalila. That's the plan, in case you didn't know. Now in this purport, Prabhupada is also talking about the plan. Vishnu is a maintainer, his servant helps him maintain. So for Yudhisthira to be king is part of Krishna's plan. In the purport it says, the Lord therefore wants his bona fide representative to rule the world. Lord Shri Krishna descended to establish this sort of regime and to kill the unwanted persons who have nothing to do with his plan. So that's the plan, to protect the devotees and vanquish the demons. That's the plan. Battle of Kurukshetra was fought according to the plan of the Lord, so undesirable persons could get out of the world and a peaceful kingdom under his devotee could be established. Now, there's another more desires. Prabhupada explains here what are Krishna's desires in this purport. Because he wants to maintain the creation, he desires the mass of people to follow the right path of self-realization so we can go back to Godhead. Then second desire, he wants us to follow the path of self-realization, first desire. And second desire, he wants the suffering beings come back to him. Third desire, cease to suffer the threefold material pangs. The whole plan of creation is made in that way. One who has not come to his senses, go back to Godhead, suffers in the material world the pangs inflicted by the illusory energy. So three-point plan, follow the path of self-realization, go back to Godhead and cease your suffering. Yeah, it's very interesting. I was hearing something, I believe, in Nectar Devotion, that if we chant purely, then we can go back to Godhead without offense. And if we just, even if we're chanting mechanically, we'll be free from the miseries. Even if you do your prescribed chanting, Prabhupada said, you can become free from miseries. I thought that was quite interesting, that he would say something like that. Yeah, yeah. So even, you know, don't worry, even if you're doing mechanical chanting, it will help you. So Brahma's path of preaching, I can't remember now. Probably eighth canto, beginning of eighth canto. That's what I was reading yesterday. I can't remember. I think that's what I was reading. They're very interesting. I know. Yeah, we think, I just chant and I'll go back to Godhead. No. Yeah, we have to. Many times he says offenseless chanting.
Yeah.
He does say offenseless chanting. But even offensive chanting will be helpful too. We will get free from misery. We'll get liberation, in other words. We'll get liberation. We may not go back to Godhead.
You are
liberated. I wish. So, in the interesting comment here about Lord Brahma, we should follow, Krishna desires us to follow the path of self-realization. So in Purport 296, Prabhupada says the creation of the material world is not blind or accidental. So the living entities who are ever conditioned, Nityabhaga, are thus given a chance for liberation under the guidance of his own representative like Brahma. The Lord instructs Brahma in Vedic knowledge in order to diffuse this knowledge to the conditioned souls. So then Prabhupada talks how Brahma, he preaches through his party, the Brahma Sampradaya. So we're a part of that. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to help reclaim the fallen souls back to Godhead. And if we do so, then we'll be very dear to Krishna, Prabhupada says. Now another point about following the path of self-realization, again in the second canto, ninth chapter, about who can follow this path of self-realization, this path of Brahma. Prabhupada says, following in the footsteps of Lord Brahma, any person, even up to this day, can attain the same perfection by following the path of the Paramahansa, as recommended herein. Lord Chaitanya also approved of this method of self-realization. for men in this age. Okay, here's how you do it. First, with all conviction, believe in the personality of Godhead Shri Krishna. Second, without making efforts to realize him by speculative philosophy, should prefer to hear about him from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. So that's that verse, Stane Stita Shitakatan Tanuvamanubir, that's 10th canto, 14th chapter, verse 3. Prabhupada is paraphrasing it. Stay in your position, just hear about Krishna. So that's how we, that's part one of Krishna's desire in this purport, is to follow the path of self-realization. Part two, Krishna's plan, cease your suffering. Of course, that could also be part three. So Gita talks about how to do that. Manmana bhavamabhato, think of me, become my devotee. Surrender to me and I will protect you. So then, here it is. Actually, I got the quote about chanting. It's purport of 176. Yeah. 176. I don't have the whole purport here, but here I'll just read what I have. When the Lord is fully satisfied with the sincere efforts of the devotee, he may endow him with his loving, transcendental service. But even with the prescribed forms of hearing and chanting, there is at once mitigation of the superfluous and unwanted miseries of material existence. So I think before that it talks about mechanical chanting. It talks about mechanical chanting and that we shouldn't do it. But then here he says, even with that, we can mitigate. Such mitigation of material affection does not wait for the development of transcendental knowledge. Interesting. Rather, knowledge is dependent on devotional service for the ultimate realization of the Supreme Truth. Well, yeah, there's the quote for you. 176, the quote. Yeah. Yeah, I should have brought the whole purport. Anyway, that's okay. So now we're talking about how to please Krishna. Shukadev, before he spoke Srimad Bhagavatam, he was concerned about pleasing Krishna so he could speak. Because without getting the blessings of Krishna, he didn't feel capable of speaking Bhagavatam. So he explains how to please Krishna in his prayers if we study. So I have two of them here, so we can just look at a few points. And 2.4.19, he is the super soul and lord of all self-realized souls, personification of the Vedas, religious scriptures, and austerities. He is worshipped by Brahma and Shiva, and all those who are transcendental to all pretensions. So if we want to please Krishna, we have to be free from pretensions. Being so revered with awe and veneration, may that Supreme Absolute be pleased with me. So then Prabhupada in the purport explains that although he's the Lord of all followers of different paths of self-realization, he is knowable only by those who are above all pretensions. So you might be following another path, but if you're not free from pretensions, you won't know Krishna. And so the pretensions of the body, birth, caste, wealth, education, beauty. The real power is the pure devotee, is with the pure devotee who is giving the power of the Lord. And pretension also means don't pretend to be something that you're not. So then in verse 21, Shukadev says, it's the personality of Godhead Shri Krishna who gives liberation. By thinking of his lotus feet at every second, following in the footsteps of authorities, the devotee in trance can see the absolute truth. The learned matter speculators, however, think of him according to their whims. May the Lord be pleased with me. So again, how to please the Lord? We should think of his lotus feet at every second. And Prabhupada in the purport tells us how. How can we think of the Lord at every second? He gives us a prayer. He paraphrases it here in this purport. See if you can figure out which prayer this is, which Prabhupada is giving us. It's very familiar. The pure devotee thinks himself fallen into the ocean of birth and death and incessantly prays to the Lord to lift him up. He only aspires to become a speck of transcendental dust at the lotus feet of the Lord. There you go. Ayananda Tanuja. King Karambatina. So that's how
That's how to pray incessantly. Prabhupada's telling how this is the practical application of this prayer of Shukadev by thinking of his lotus feet at every second, following in the footsteps of authority. So Prabhupada's our authority. He's telling us how to pray incessantly. Prabhupada says he incessantly prays this prayer. So we should follow Prabhupada. He's our authority. Yes, yes. It's Prabhupada in the purport. This is Prabhupada's purport. Otherwise, how would we know? Prabhupada in the purport, he is saying, this is what we should pray. This is what we should pray. Stated in Brahma Samhita, the mental speculators, so these people can't understand, even by dint of learned scholarship, cannot even dream of the absolute truth by speculating over it for eternity. The Lord reserves the right of not being exposed to such mental speculators. The Lord is not like a shopkeeper trying to please all sorts of customers and the mental speculator exchange. Isn't that wonderful? Mental speculator exchange, we have it. Facebook is the mental speculator exchange. What's on your mind? What's on your mind? We have a mental speculator exchange. Prabhupada was very prophetic here. He saw Facebook coming. There is a mental speculator exchange. And you have 5,000 friends you can exchange with all of them. Yes, mental, we have that. But we won't know Krishna unless we can use it. Actually, we can exchange about Krishna on that mental spec. Even the mental speculator exchange can be used for Krishna nowadays. Yes, devotees are very smart how to do that. This is from the purport. The pure devotee, by following the ways of previous acharyas, can see the Supreme Lord through the transparent medium of a bona fide spiritual master. The pure devotee never tries to see the Lord by mental speculation, but by following the footsteps of the acharyas. He reveals himself to a devotee when he's fully satisfied by the devotee's service attitude. And then Prabhupada says in the purport, Shukadeva Goswami is not a mental speculator or compromiser of the theory of as many ways, as many conclusions. Rather, he prays to the Lord only, invoking his transcendental pleasure. That is the way of knowing the Lord. So we have to please serve the pure devotee. We see the example of Prahlad Maharaj in his prayers in 7.9.28. He says, "My Lord, because of my association with material desires, one after another, I was falling gradually into a blind well full of snakes, following the general populace. But your servant Narada Muni kindly accepted me as his disciple and instructed me how to achieve this transcendental position. Therefore, my first duty is to serve him. How could I leave his service?" So this is the Vaishnava Parati, Tavabritya Sevam. We don't approach Krishna directly. That is not Vaishnava. Prabhupada said that is impudency, his lecture on this verse. You cannot approach Krishna. Lord Chaitanya says, Gopi Bharatu Pada Kamalayor Dasa Das Anu Dasa. So we can, our knowledge is who we are. We are Dasa Das Anu Das. And what is our relationship with the other living entities? They are our Prabhus. Prabhupada taught us that. Everyone is Prabhu and you are Das. So therefore, we have to serve the Prabhus. Prahlad Maharaj, he's such an example. He's a Shakti Vishavatar, Prabhupada said. But he says, how can I give up the service of my Guru Maharaj? He doesn't say, oh, my dear Nrisingadev, I'm self-realized now. I'm very competent. Give me your service directly. No. He says, Britya, Tava Britya Sevam, let me serve your servant. Yeah. He says, I've fallen into a well of snakes, that is the senses. And so we're surrounded by our senses, which are like snakes. But by the grace of Lord Chaitanya, the Kalasarpas are broken fangs. Because he's given us the holy name. So Prahlad always used to think, I'm the servant of Narada. And when Nrisingadev wanted to give him benediction, he asked Nrisingadev, please engage me in the service of your servant, Narada. So Prahlad's our guru. We should accept him as guru, Nityasiddha. And Prabhupada also gives us another prayer we should pray, Vaishnava Thakur Tomor Kukur Bolya Janahamore. My dear Vaishnava Thakur, please accept me as your dog. And we just have to learn from the dog how to be faithful to the master. So to finish, I would just like to share with you one thing that happened to one of my friends in Vrindavan. She came to Vrindavan to leave her body. She had MS, I think. I forgot what that means.
Multiple sclerosis.
Yeah, okay, whatever that is, sclerosis. And she came to die, but she lived for 20 years before she left her body. So that whole time she was just like bedridden, couldn't really do anything, didn't have strength to lift up her bead bag, hardly. Sometimes she couldn't chant her 16 rounds. And then she had a vision before she died. Before she left her body, she had a vision of being with Prabhupada. And she was walking on the path back to Godhead with Prabhupada by her side. And people on both sides of the path were criticizing her. She's a Malecha, she's from the West. She was sick, she couldn't chat properly. They were all like saying bad things. So in her vision, Prabhupada turned to them and said, it's okay, she's with me. So we're with Prabhupada. So she had that vision before she died. she had that vision before she left her body. So okay, stick with Prabhupada and we'll be okay. And Prabhupada will take us. Will take us back. We just, yeah, okay, you can stop here. Microphone.
When you were speaking, I was thinking that it is Kanista Adhikara and Majjhima Adhikara and Uttama Adhikari. So I always heard that Uttama Adhikari, you know, it's the highest, that the devotees, they see everything is happening by Krishna, you know, Krishna's arranging everything, no matter what it is. But like Srila Prabhupada was Uttama Adhikari, but he stepped down to the Majjhima Adhikari platform.
Right.
To be able to discriminate and be able to preach and, you know, out of his compassion. So one sense, that seems like because you were talking about creation as a result of the compassion of the Lord, so it seems that compassion is actually a higher position, you know, than Uttama Adhikari, really, because they're exhibiting those same symptoms as the Lord has to bring souls closer to Krishna.
Very interesting, yeah. I never thought of that.
No, but Uttama Adhikari means not exactly like that. Uttama Adhikari means one who sees everything in him and he is in him.
Right, but the comment that I heard, I'm sure you've heard it too, that Prabhupada stepped down, that was the phrase used.
Yeah, to discriminate. And
because,
but I'm just saying, it seems like a higher position.
But would you say not Uttama Adhikari, Uttama Bhava? Because Uttama Adhikari means they have a logic, Shastra Jukti Sumi Kum, Virasatya Jal, Uttama Adhikari Shri Mahabhagava. According to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Uttama Adhikari means they know the logic, they know Shastra, they never lose their faith, and they can defeat actually, establish Krishna. So that's Uttama Adhikari. Uttama Bhava means he sees that his own
he sees Uttama sees everybody is devotee except me. So therefore he can't preach. But still, and that's one way to understand. Another way is that the spiritual master is the incarnation of the compassion, the mercy of the Lord. So as that, in that sense, you know, he had that overrides everything. He may be Uttam, he may be whatever, but he's on a mission. He has that special empowerment. He has a special empowerment. He's a Shaktivishavatar. He's empowered with that mercy, to give mercy to everyone.
Did you say that somewhere?
Yeah. Well, it's in different places. This Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's the famous verse, Krishna Shakti Binanahe Tara Pravartam. Without the mercy, without the empowerment of Krishna, you cannot preach. You cannot push on the Sankirtan movement. So then you just have to go a little bit behind what is the Sankirtan movement. It's the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Nityananda, the most merciful. So if you're empowered to distribute the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, that means that you're the incarnation of mercy and the incarnation. It kind of goes together. What if you're empowered to push on the Sankirtan movement, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. That means you have the mercy of Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya. And
it's kind of interesting to think that Uttama, that they see everybody as a devotee because everyone's following Krishna's path in all respects, right?
Right.
And that ultimately they'll come back to Krishna because, is that correct? Because if really there's no other place to go, it just may take. And time is like so, it's like a second, right? Our whole sojourn, the whole material world. Prabhupada said 8,004,000 pieces of life, we've been through it so many times.
But another point is that if you study Prabhupada's life very scrutinizingly, you will see that most of the time he was acting like a madhyama, but sometimes he would forget and he would be an uttama. I know one time I heard how he was crying, you know, sometimes he would cry. And one time he said to his disciples, "Oh, all of you are very good, only I am bad."
I just read that recently.
Yeah, all of you are good, only I am bad. So, and you are sent to me by my Guru Maharaj to help me. So.
He gave a lecture from Shivakananda's appearance
day,
and that's where he said
that. So sometimes he would go back into the mentality of, you know, of Uttam, and devotees would see that. And but that was very, very rare. He didn't like to do that too much. He didn't like to show that he was an Uttama. He didn't like. What?
Who controls that, like switching?
Okay. Well, it looks to me like Prabhupada is always having those feelings, but he would keep them inside himself. And sometimes he couldn't. What it looks like to me is that Prabhupada, what I experienced is Prabhupada was always on that highest platform. But sometimes, and he was always keeping it, you know, like secret, like hidden. But sometimes he couldn't, and it came out. So sometimes, yeah.
This is a nice question. I mean, when we say they come down to Madhuri Epistle, what does that mean? They come down means they are being pushed or
No.
They used to come down?
No. What does it mean to come down to the Madhyama? It just means, you know, you're an Uttama and you just change your mentality. Okay, now I'm going to see the differences. As an Uttama, you don't see the differences. Everyone's equal. Everyone's equal. You see everyone equally. Everyone's spirit soul. Nobody's in Maya. But when you come to the Madhyama, it just means you just see it from a different perspective. That, okay, this person needs some help here to realize he's a devotee. This person needs help here, this person needs help. This person will not except he will commit offense, so better I avoid him. This person will commit offense, this one is innocent, let me help him. So, yeah, as far as I understand it, it's like, I guess what comes to my mind is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he has different moods. He has a mood as Ram, he has a mood of Nrisimha, he has these different moods. But he's just one person. So Prabhupada is a person, he's an Uttama, but he has different moods. And he expresses, and he doesn't express his bhava to everyone. He tries to keep it hidden. Sometimes it would come out, sometimes he said, you know, well, Krishna told me to go here, and I said I didn't want to go, and Krishna said, no, just go and write some books, and you can come back, you know. So sometimes it would come out. It's just like, you're just one person, and, but the Uttama can understand the lower ones also, what are the lower mentalities. But the lower mentalities can't understand the higher ones. They can't feel a higher mentality. So Prabhupada, he's Uttama, and he could also act as Madhyama.
But as a, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Because I'm with him all the other.
We are conscious being.
Yeah.
We are product of our own decision. In a right. one sense, every soul is creating their own. They cannot, they should not complain, because whatever I'm experiencing is a product of my own decision. So then, we have a conscious choice always, eternally.
Yeah.
Is Prabhupada choosing to switch, or he is influenced and then he's being directed? There must be something.
No, he has chosen to come here and preach and write books. That he made a choice. But then when he's here, he, you know, sometimes, like one time it's like this, another time a devotee asked Prabhupada, are you omniscient? Do you know everything? And Srila Prabhupada said, no, only Krishna is omniscient. I know what Krishna wants me to know.
Correct.
Yeah. So in that sense, so sometimes he knew, like in New York when he arrived, he sat on the bench, he said, oh, there are so many temples, there are so many farms, you know, all their time is separated. He knew that. And when he incorporated ISKCON, it was just a little tiny storefront, bunch of hippies, international society for Krishna consciousness. He knew. So he knew things, but but it's not that he knew everything. Now sometimes, according to what Prabhupada says, Krishna would reveal things to him when the time was there. But he also knew a lot more than, of course, we would know. He knew, he had the mentality. He's eternally, he's, you know, he's Uttamadhikari.
But then also he would go back to the shipping station, right?
Yeah. And check the schedule. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we just have to accept what it says in Chaitanya Charitamrita. You cannot understand the mind of a pure devotee.
How do you explain in 1968 when he got the telegraph from his sannyas guru? He was in Seattle. And he was emotional, and he was expressing that how it was so heavy. He was horrified.
Yeah.
So, was it his own decision, or he just had to go pushed to experience that horrible?
Well, he said he was pushed to take sannyas.
So it is both. Sometimes he decides. Sometimes
Krishna pushes him. Your guru pushes you, and sometimes he. But when the reporter asked him, "At what age were you self-realized?" he said, 4 years old." So, try to figure it out.
4 years?
Yeah, 4 years old.
Thank you for a wonderful class. I have two things. Number one, I'm blown away to hear about your friend that went to India. I'm a nurse. I've never in my life ever heard of anybody living that long with MS. 20 years.
I can't really understand you. Maybe you need to take your mask up a little. Or speak slowly. Speak slowly.
Can you hear this?
Okay.
Is that better?
Translate.
No, the first thing I wanted to talk about was, I was amazed what you shared with us. This woman came to Vrindavan with MS. I'm a nurse. I've never heard of anybody living this long with MS. This is an I'm absolute, the miracle of Vrindavan.
Wait, she has to catch
it. Okay.
She's talking about the Mataji who was living in Vrindavan for 20 years.
Yeah.
No, she didn't get it.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, okay. And she's talking about her nurse. No, it's not that one. I know the other one you're talking about.
Yeah, she said she's a nurse.
Oh, you're a nurse. Oh. Okay. Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
Anyway, why is it such a problem if people have spontaneous, such deep love for the deities or whatever, for the devotees? Why is there a problem? You know, you hear these conflicting things. People, there's just one wonderful Masaji here. I can't remember her name, unfortunately. She used to live Orlando, I think. She would come here every Sunday. She lives here now in the area. And she would come to this middle door. And as soon as she saw the devotees, the joy, the love she felt, tears would literally just flow from her eyes. It was so beautiful to see. And I hear this, why is it a problem? Like people to show, maybe they feel like crying sometimes. Maybe they do get a little really loud or whatever. Why is that? Because I hear sometimes that it's a problem. You're supposed to control it. And it's not because you're putting on a show. I don't believe people are putting on shows. I think they really feel this. So I always wondered why that was such a big issue, that you always feel like you have to control this.
Well, an issue that you cry when you come to the temple.
I'm sorry?
You're asking why is it an issue that this lady was crying when she came to
no,
the temple?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it was so beautiful, her spontaneous love,
uh-huh.
And the tears just pouring from her eyes. But you hear this why did he feel like he had to control his bhava? You know, I mean, why is that a problem?
Oh, well, people could misunderstand.
Hmm.
People can misunderstand.
Well, that's their problem.
Yes, that's the problem. The problem is people misunderstand. So, better not to show. Okay, Jai, I'll go ahead to show. Hare Krishna. Oh, questions?
Yeah, online. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm going to read.
Oh. tell them just to send a text for
us.
Okay. Okay. Describing. Her name was Nanda.
Okay.
Nanda?
Yeah. Not Arnanda here.
What year did she come to Vrindavan?
Oh, maybe 25 years, 30 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, there's two more.
How was she in Vrindavan, in 96, 97?
I was there. Yeah.
So when you was in the group?
Oh, yeah.
I was there for 5 months.
Okay, what do you have?
I'm trying to get you from the phone. So to be... Okay. I don't know if it's too small.
Oh, really small.
Okay, with the temple burns.
Yeah. Which one?
Many.
Oh, my. So many.
There are few. Bhagavati.
Bhagavati.
You can read now.
Jai Shri Prabhupada. Okay, Bhagavati. Thanks for encouraging example of devotee with MS. It's okay, she's with me. Jai Shri Prabhupada. And I'm not sure about the step-down context, but Prabhupada and Laikacharya still Uttama, perhaps step-down from acting aloof, yet still Uttama, yeah, in consciousness. Exactly, that's what I was saying. That's from SDM. In other words, they're acting on a certain platform and interacting with others who are not yet displaying. Exactly. Shubhas said, Krishna within his heart inspired him to come down on Madhyama for preaching purposes. Some are chosen by Lord Krishna. Okay, it's just all comments. All right, thank you. All right.
Uh-oh.
Oh my God. Oh, did you come to take me home? No. Okay. Well, see, I had a problem. Yeah, I left you. So somebody was going to come and pick me up, but you could take me if you want.